Tonight on WVW Broadcast Network, the Muslim man that brandished five weapons on Facebook Live in the parking lot of our Sioux Falls Worldview Weekend rally and told us to be scared and terrified has yet to be charged a week later. It's making international news, but the local news seems not to be able to get the story correct. They also interviewed the Muslim man, apparently to help him maybe rehabilitate his image. I don't know, but do you think a Christian man that did this at a Muslim conference would be interviewed by the secular media to share his feelings as to why he did what he did? And then we found shocking video of a Muslim leader at the Sioux Falls, South Dakota Islamic Center talking about how the Muslims could take over Sioux Falls. And then Muslim Brotherhood, their document on how to take over America involves co-opting leaders of America. Is Sioux Falls a perfect example of what's happening all across America? Is this a problem that's far more serious than even we knew? We'll talk with Sharam Hadian, former Iranian Muslim, now Christian pastor. This is WVW Broadcast Network News, and it begins right now.
This is WVW Broadcast Network News and Commentary with Brannon House.
Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you're with us. WVW Broadcast Network News. Well, as you know now, probably, likely, our story is this. The Sioux Falls Worldview Weekend Rally that involved this man brandishing weapons and making threats from his car on Facebook Live is a story that has now gone international. But first, Sharam, I said that earlier in the week on the radio that I have to wonder if there wasn't Saudi Muslim money in Sioux Falls. I mean, why else are they rolling over, apparently, for the Muslims and the leaders? And so I started doing research, Muslim money, Saudi money in Sioux Falls. I started doing the old search engine, and look what I found from the Argus Leader, I believe it is. This is dated April 23rd, 2014. The headline, Saudi Prince Visits Sioux Falls Businesses. Saudi Prince Visits Sioux Falls Businesses. A highlight came as Rausenbauer's American Lions Manufacturing Facility, where the Prince saw, listen now folks, where the Prince saw fire rescue vehicles being made as part of an order from his home country. That would be Saudi Arabia. Quote, he could not get over the fact they were made here and he'll be seeing them over there, end quote, Nelson said. The company has had a long-standing relationship. Really? The company has had a long-standing relationship with the Saudi government. An order recently came in for $208 million in firefighting apparatus. Of the 800 vehicles to be supplied, 470 will be built in South Dakota in the next 2 years. The prince was aware of the business relationship with Rausenbauer, said Harold Barr, president of Rausenbauer America and CEO of Rausenbauer South Dakota. Quote, we were impressed with him, his understanding of business and the need for economic development and a good working relationship within the U.S., end quote, Bauer said. Quote, these are the types of relationships that we need to work on so we can continue to grow the international marketplace, end quote. The prince's visit was part of a fellowship. His official duties in Saudi Arabia include investment affairs and national competitiveness, end quote. Well, Sharam, I proposed on the air just speculation that I the old saying, follow the money, so I assumed it had to be money. And if there was Saudi or Muslim money, and sure enough, the headline, Saudi Prince Visits Sioux Falls Business. Maybe they could change the name of Sioux Falls to Saudi Falls, you know? You know what's so ironic, Sharam, is that the man who waved his weapons at Facebook Live and in the parking lot of our conference and told us to be scared and to be terrified admits on his own Facebook page April 14th that he visited, talking about George H. Bush visited his high school when he lived in Saudi Arabia. Oh, wow. I wonder, just speculation, just a question. I wonder if the city didn't want to be seen arresting a man who was from Saudi Arabia if they have business relationships with companies in their town with Saudi Arabia. If companies in their town have businesses with Saudi Arabia, maybe this was getting a little too politically sticky. That's just a question, my opinion. Sharam?
Well, Brandon, you nailed this one when you said earlier to me this week that you suspected that there's got to be other motives. I mean, we obviously exposed the Muslim Brotherhood angle. We discovered that the mosque, in fact, both mosques there in Sioux Falls, the two major mosques, are connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. The Islamic Center that protested us is directly owned by the North American Islamic Trust. We had already made that connection. Now when you take the Brotherhood, which is also, let's not forget, Saudi-backed and Saudi-funded, and then you bring this connection, and then you also expose, remember you talked about the banking, the aspect that Sioux Falls is now the headquarters of the credit card companies. You brought in the exposure of the whole aspect of the medical field. And when we looked into that, we saw all these Muslim doctors that they're bringing in. And in fact, the guy that we're going to be showing his video of, Dr. Jihad Kadur, he's on the board of a Syrian refugee program. So, you know, we're putting the dots together, but follow the money, Brandon. You said it, follow the money. And here we go. You know, again, we don't know 100%, but it sure stinks, doesn't it? It sure stinks that they look at this case, and within 24 hours, Brandon, of this incident, that this guy on Facebook Live threatens us, I should say, and brandishes all these arsenal of weapons, the police are already telling you that we can't even take your complaint because it's already been decided that there's going to be no charges? How does that happen within 24 hours? How did they even look at all the evidence and determine that within 24 hours? Unless they already looked at this guy's name, they knew he was from Saudi, they knew that there's you know, they don't want to upset the Muslim, they don't want to upset the Muslim doctors, they don't want to upset the Muslim community, they don't want to upset the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's exactly as the Brotherhood said, Brandon, we're going to co-opt local leaders, we're going to co-opt. And when they co-opt them, these local leaders don't even have to be Muslim. It doesn't mean that they're all Muslims or they're all co-opted as far as becoming Islamic, like in Dearborn, Michigan, or Hamtramck, Michigan, where you actually see the police chief that's Muslim and the city attorney that's Muslim and a good percentage of the police force that's Muslim and on and on, and city council that's Muslim. In this case, they co-opted through money, funds, fear, intimidation. They control the media. I mean, you nailed this. And I think we have blown the lid off of this story. And Brandon, when you earlier were reading all these articles and where it was posting, you and I both kind of probably spent a little bit of time, just for fun, like we had nothing else to do, looking at some of the comments. And I tell you, overwhelmingly, I would say 95% of the comments were absolute, utter shock and disbelief that this guy was not arrested. I mean, how can this be? How can they not have charged this guy? So this is where we sit today, Friday, April, is it 22nd you said? 21st.
Today's the 21st.
Friday, April 21st. This man has not been arrested, has not been touched, and the city is telling us, and I know you're going to play the clip from the local news where the police says, not only did he not break any laws, he didn't threaten anybody, and he didn't make any threats to harm anybody. After all, he's just exercising his First and Second Amendment right. Forgive me if I don't wonder if I exercise my First and Second Amendment right in the same way that this gentleman did. I think it would be a little different, don't you?
I absolutely do. And that's exactly what the county prosecutor, the state attorney in that county, told Leo Holman. He's quoted in the World Net Daily article as saying, we can't run roughshod over this man's First Amendment and Second Amendment right. I am not aware when brandishing weapons and making terroristic threats became your First and Second Amendment rights. It's ridiculous.
And by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, did I mention to you that on his Facebook page, he admitted that he had 1,200 rounds of ammo in the car?
No, I'm hearing that, folks, I'm hearing that for the first time. Okay, we've been saying hundreds of rounds. You just heard that, and I just heard that for the first time. He's admitted he had 1,200 rounds of ammunition.
He did. On one of his posts, he admitted that he had 1,200 rounds of ammunition in the car. And he said, and I don't know if that's including the ones in the magazines. So, you know, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt that that includes all the ones that he was, you know, brandishing his extended mag. 1,200 rounds, according to his own admission on Facebook. And he says, this is the way I roll. Remember, he told ABC News, this is the way I roll. I carry these in my car. Really? Who does that?
Well, we're going to show that. We're going to show this right now. Do you have a screenshot of him saying that 1,200 rounds?
I do.
Please,
get that out.
Please send that to me. Maybe we can cut that into the program here in the post edit.
All
right, let's go to the video of ABC affiliate there in Sioux Falls interviewing this man. Don't forget, we still have a video to play of what Pamela Geller's website says, a Muslim Brotherhood terror link leader tells Muslims to change Sioux Falls to convert non-Muslims. Stay tuned for that video clip. The first one, though, is Sioux Falls the other night, ABC affiliate interviewed the man that made these videos, made these what we believe are threats, brandished these weapons. And again, ask yourself, if some so-called Christian man had done this, do you think the media would be interviewing him, giving him a chance to tell his side of the story?
Courtney, Ehab Jobber says that he only made the video after he left the event sitting in the parking lot. He says he was asked by security to leave when they noticed he had a gun, which was not allowed at the facility. He says the reason he made the video is because he was upset at how many people were at the event.
You have your weapons with you. You know, if you want to be really scared, be scared. Be scared. Be scared. Be terrified. Be terrified.
I did what I did because I was actually really heartbroken to see that many people at that place.
Ehab Jobber says he believes many people who attended the talk by Brandon House and Sharam Hadian came because of how the event was advertised.
They didn't show up for a Christian conference. They showed up for an anti-Muslim rally.
Once he got inside,
that was just a ploy to play on people's fears to sell a book, which I realized that a minute after I got in that building.
As for those guns,
that's how I travel all the time. I mean, I have my pistol on me, and yes, the AR is in the car because I have a kid at home.
He says he's a naturalized citizen, a Republican, just exercising his Second Amendment rights.
I'm not armed against the regular citizen. I'm not armed against Christians or against Jews or against women or against children. I'm just armed against stupidity and oppression.
Law enforcement has seen the video and say no charges have been filed.
Information was sent to the Lincoln County State's Attorney's Office to review, but he wasn't threatening anybody. He wasn't threatening to harm anybody. He didn't break any laws, so that's why he wasn't arrested.
As for Jobber,
I did it. I'll do it again, and I'll do it again and again, just like any American citizen would. I did not go to a Christian conference. I went to an anti-Muslim rally.
They're letting this man define what our event was and tell his position. He isn't saying that he's sorry. He would do it again. And he even says that his only issue is with people who are oppressing or that are stupid. So I guess if we're stupid or somehow oppressing people, then it's okay. I mean, I think he's just doubling down on what he has said about us. What do you think, Sharam? And then I have breaking news for you.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is what's so amazing about this interview. I'm not sure if the statement of the police officer is more baffling to me as a former police officer or letting this guy, what appears to be to me, Brandon, and to you, allowing this guy to seem like he's the victim. You know, I was upset. I was heartbroken. Hey, you know, there's lots of times, Brandon, you and I get heartbroken over things, but we don't go brandishing weapons and have an arsenal and hundreds of, you know, thousands of rounds of ammunition. By the way, real quick, well, let me just finish this, and I want to read to you one of his Facebook posts quickly from, I think it was 2 days ago. The fact that he's trying to justify this and he's saying, I'll do it again, I'll do it again, I'll do it again, and the fact that this is against stupidity and oppression. Who defines stupidity and oppression? Did we not have a First Amendment right to be able to have a rally and have a meeting and be able to share information? And there's a lot of people that don't agree with me, and there's a lot of people that I don't agree with. But I don't go to their events and, number one, protest them, and number two, I don't threaten them. So it is ludicrous that they're giving him the opportunity. Just in case you're wondering if this guy's doubling down, this is on his Facebook page here, Brandon. This is from April 19th. He's talking about, he says, one thing for sure, cheers to the Second Amendment community. The last nail in my coffin would have been if you started calling for gun control, because even not allowing an American Muslim to carry during this day and age is a slippery, I'm not going to say a swear word, slope. And notice when it became about gun open carry and guns, the mainstream media sort of left it alone. This is speculating now that the reason the mainstream media isn't covering this because it's all about guns. He then goes on to say, I love this country just as much as you do, if not more. And I believe I stood by my principles just like an American would. But if you still have animosity, we can shoot it out. I hope you've been practicing your quick draw and your aim, because I'm 25,000 rounds deep. This is just one comment on this guy's Facebook page.
And I'm just hearing that. I'm just hearing this for the first time. Okay, folks, I'm just hearing this again. You keep telling me stuff I'm hearing for the first time. I have not ruled out consulting with our attorneys on civil action for waiting this long to do anything about this guy, because A, we had to be fearful now for almost 2 weeks for our family and our security. We had to spend a few thousand dollars on security for these other conferences, not to mention the stress this has put us and our families under. All right. And again, folks, we're filming this on Friday afternoon, April 21st. It's now 5:30. I just received a text a few minutes ago while that news clip was playing. I just received a text from someone in Sioux Falls. The man has now been charged with terroristic threat. This article was posted at 5:09 Central Time, April 21st. So while we were filming this program, Kilo Land News reports, headline, man who brought guns to Sioux Falls conference charged with terrorist threats. The man in a viral video, the man in a viral Facebook video broadcast live outside a Christian conference in Sioux Falls earlier in April has been charged with one count of a terrorist threat. 45-year-old Ehab Jabbers' charges came from the alleged incident on April 9th. In his Facebook Live video, he was seen with a number of firearms. When authorities searched his home, they seized firearms and meth. Now, again, I'm reading this on the air first, folks. So when you heard that, that's when my brain. So now listen, folks, this kind of gives me chills. You got to be telling me that my family and the people in that conference were being threatened by a man who claimed he had 1,200 rounds and had meth. So how do we know this man wasn't jacked up on something and could have completely been out of his mind and done something? Not to mention, you're telling me for 12 days this man has been allowed to maintain access to his weapons and the public for 12 days, and they found meth? Why did they not search his house that night? They had the cause.
Absolutely.
You man, all they're doing is building their case for me to show that these people are, I believe, in my opinion, completely incompetent.
Absolutely.
I cannot believe you and I are hearing this for the first time while we're sitting here. They seize his firearms and meth. What does that mean, Sharam, as a former police officer, if someone has meth? What does that mean?
Well, it depends on whether he's actually cooking meth or he's bought meth. As you know, meth is so destructive. It is so destructive, and it is actually it's not a downer. Like marijuana, for example, it actually gets you agitated. So here's the thing. How do we know he didn't come to the event high on meth, right? He could have come to the event because in his agitated state that he was in, he could have been high that night on meth, and then with all of these weapons and arsenal. Now, we don't know, as I said, is he cooking meth? Is he distributing meth? That's a whole other aspect that their investigation has to show. But not only is meth destructive to your body and just destroys you, and all you got to do is see some before and after pictures of people who have been on meth for a while, but it makes you highly paranoid and it makes you highly agitated. And so here's this guy that in the videos looked agitated, looked out of control, looked unstable. He's obviously in a rage, and he's highly armed. And I agree with you. Given this information, they should have arrested him that night. They shouldn't have just sat on his house. They should have arrested him if they weren't going to arrest him on the way to this. Because, you know, the fact is, as he's traveling, they could have stopped him and arrested him. Or they could have searched the warrant on his house that night or the next day and arrested him. It is not just incompetence. But Brandon, I would say this is negligence that is at the point of putting lives at deep risk, not just ours, but that community. And how many times on Facebook has this guy since then said, I have nothing to live for. I wanted attention. I wanted to be able to, you know, be heard. So I wonder if again, our pressure, I'm sure they're not going to admit it. I'm sure they're not going to admit that it was because of our pressure, that the pressure of the story and going international. But how much of that was really the case, Brandon, that because of the pressure that us not going away, remember you and I talked about it? They wanted us to go away. They were hoping that we'd go away. and we were not willing to go away. And this is what has to happen. But I agree with you. This is outrageous.
This happened on a Sunday night, and we got home on Saturday, the following Saturday. And so we held this story because of the fact we were still doing conferences and did not want to put our people at risk or our families at risk by agitating someone else or him or anybody if he was plugged into any kind of network. So we gave them basically, well, they had over a week. We broke the story on Monday. So they had over a week to charge this man, to get a search warrant, to search his house, but they didn't. Movement didn't apparently begin to happen till we broke the story on our national radio show, our TV show, and then began to distribute it to our friends in the conservative media. So what this tells me, in my opinion, is if we had not done anything, this would have gone away. This man would have continued to have his weapons, thousands of rounds by his own admission, according to his Facebook page that Schramm says he read, and he would have access to drugs. Folks, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but my opinion is that man was on the verge of doing something that night. Many people believe so. Even one of the police officers who's off duty we hired told me if you hadn't hired us, I think something would have happened. But now we're finding out about the number of rounds he reportedly had. Now this Kilo Land is reporting, as we're live on the air, finding for the first time he had meth in his home when they went to his house and arrested him and charged him at 5:09 Central Time. The story breaks. We were already in programming when that we find this out. But you're telling me the city of Sioux Falls and other residents were left at risk for all these days with a man with this many weapons and meth, and they could have shut this down that night, I believe, legally, by simply saying, you did make a terroristic threat. Obviously, they think he made a terroristic threat. They're charging him now with that. So they could have enforced that law that night, seized him, seized his weapons. But no, they let this man, who clearly, I think, is dangerous with drugs and his ideology, out for 12 days. Now, if this doesn't show you the incompetence of our police departments, not only in Sioux Falls, but I venture to guess this would happen in many police departments. Why? Because instead of spending money on training the police, we're spending it on AstroTurf for soccer fields and other stupid stuff. And by the way, I'm hearing of more and more police officers that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn because they can't even, some of them, get requalified without lots of practice because they haven't been shooting. And the reason they haven't been shooting at the range is because the city won't allow them to shoot because they don't have the money for the bullets. I had people within law enforcement community repeat that to me last night. That's not the fault of the police. That's the fault of the politicians. But you know what? This is so serious. I mean, I can't believe what we're finding out while we're here live recording. Meth. So we had a guy at our conference with over 500 people, men, women, and children, who had all these rounds, all these weapons, who may have been jacked up on meth, and they didn't have the wherewithal to arrest him immediately. And I'm not talking about the off-duty officers we had. The police outside had been made aware of this video. They were made aware of the video because they told us about the video, the off-duty police officers did, while our conference still had 90 minutes. And one of the officers who was on duty came in the building at one point, and they were all huddled up talking. I think, folks, I'm speaking out loud, but I think the next move is to call for an international pressure for the firing of the chief of police. I believe
the chief of police, Brandon, and the recall of this prosecutor. The prosecutor is an elected position. So chief of police, absolutely. Remember, the chief of police is hired by the mayor. So now you have an issue with the mayor and with the prosecutor. I mean, come, folks. We've been having you guys call the Attorney General's office. We believe that this is more than likely having to do with that pressure from top down. Because after all, Brandon just played you the clip from the local media where the police said, not only was, I mean, it's one thing, Brandon, if they said, well, we're still investigating, we're not sure, blah, blah. No, they definitively said, not only did he not break any laws, he made no threats. So now they're going to come back and eat crow and say, we were wrong. We didn't do our job. This is negligence. And this is negligence that is potentially criminal negligence because they're putting people's lives at risk, not only just ours and the 500 people and the two state legislators in that meeting. So I think that the police chief absolutely should be relieved of his duty. The mayor should be recalled. This prosecutor should be recalled. These people should not be serving in office.
Absolutely not. I agree 100%, and that will be our next focus for radio all next week as we now use this position, our position and our platform, not because it's us, but because it's the people of Sioux Falls, of South Dakota, and this should be a warning and a message to all you elected officials. If you are not going to do your job, the American people will see that you are legally removed with either recall. The American people have got to stop this political correctness because I believe that something almost happened that night, and I can't believe I'm learning recording here while we're filming. The man had meth in his house, may have been at our conference jacked up on something, and not to mention could have done something now that he was already irate. He already posted on Facebook earlier in the week after this international news that he dug his grave too deep, didn't he say that? And that he had nothing to lose? So how do we know he wouldn't have gone out in a blaze of glory, jacked up on something with all of his rounds? Because he wasn't thinking right and his ideology. That's my opinion. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely, Brandon. As a former police officer and dealing with, as you just said, the ideology, you put the combination of the fact that he could have been under the influence and ideology that, again, he shows his Quran. But the fact that now we're finding that he's had meth, he's had drugs, this guy's been unstable and walking around town for the last 10, 11 days.
12. This is a huge story, and it needs to be dealt with, and the people of Sioux Falls should be outraged, absolutely outraged. I mean, I can hardly speak. We're going to run out of time, but let me tell you, I want to get to this video of this Muslim Brotherhood terror-linked leader tells Muslims to change Sioux Falls to convert non-Muslims. He's going to talk about Dawah. Dawah is the basically the Great Commission of Islam, where you convert people. Notice he talks about how they want to take over exponentially. Notice how they're going to do it by having this front or this face, just like Muslim Brotherhood said in their explanatory memorandum that they will use the leaders of their own community, coerce these leaders to enforce Muslim Brotherhood narrative on their subordinates, meaning the people. And so notice how he talks about taking over by appearing kind and merciful and open-hearted. Folks, you're being played as fools if you don't understand this. Some of you do. Most of our audience does, so you're not. But most of your elected officials and law enforcement are being played as fools while they take over our towns and communities. And I think Sioux Falls is only one of many, many such examples. Watch this clip. We'll come back, comment, and close. Watch this.
Please understand our society in this locality. Let me ask you this. How many Muslims in Sioux Falls?
About 4,000.
America is the best society, by the way, for Dawah. Let's put an objective, ya akhi. Let's say this year we are 4,000. Want to put next year? Everybody take a year and just bring one Muslim. So it'll be 8,000. Right? And then the next year, the after year, we are 8, become 16,000. I'm not taking bring the Muslim from outside, no. Make the Muslim, make, you know, reach out to those people and they will carry the message. And they have more motivation than you and me. Because they're brothers and sisters and wives and fathers and so forth. They care about them. So if they understand it, they will convey it. And imagine with 10 years, this society, Sheikh Dr. Hisham, multiply, you know, every year you are doubling. I'm talking about exponential. It would be, you will be, now we have one or two masajid, maybe you will have every corner a masjid. They will build it. Don't worry about it. They will build it. Wallahi, I'm not dreaming. But this is reality. Let's put the objective, I don't want to talk about, you know, go to Egypt and change it. Go to Syria and change it. No, talk and change here. You are here, your duty to work in this community. First, we have to have one idea. We want to change at least this society. Start with the idea. Now we have 4,000. Want to make it like in 10 years, 100,000. Whatever. Let's make, ya akhi, put an objective. Put an objective. In 10 years, you make, ya akhi, 50,000. Put an objective. Make it reasonable. 50,000. We are 4,000 right now. It would happen.
So they have a plan for taking over Sioux Falls. Well, folks, again, Sioux Falls, I believe, is the example here. I believe this is going on in city after city throughout the United States of America. So let's remember, folks, Sioux Falls isn't just one incident. It's not just one off. I think it is the template that's being used over and over. And I believe, sadly, we have chief police, assistant chief police, prosecutors, elected officials that are absolutely ignorant about how they're being played with a covert jihad sabotaging to bring their city down and take over. That's what John Gundola and Sharam do, is train people. And why are they not getting the training? Why are they not spending the resources on that training? Unfortunately, I think the answer is, that goes to special interest groups and other things. Again, it's a little shocking here. We're broadcasting, filming. We find out the man has been charged while we're on the air broadcasting or while we're filming. We find out that he has meth in his house, which again is shocking that he was at a conference where he could have been high. He could have been jacked up on something. I'm even more convinced now than ever that something was averted because we hired security. But I'm also more convinced than ever that he has been a risk to us and our family for 12 days. What was to stop him from getting in a car and coming to Memphis or getting out into the area in Sioux Falls and carrying out something when he's saying he's dug his grave too deep on Facebook and he has nothing to lose and he's got all these rounds and guns and he's got meth? I cannot believe the cops and the police and the law enforcement and the prosecutors and what I believe is their incompetence to put the society at risk for 12 days. And again, we'll be continuing to cover this. This has been a special report with breaking news while we're here in the studio, a WVW Broadcast Network News production. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching, and thank you for sending the URL of this broadcast to everyone on Facebook, Twitter, and getting out the word. Thank you so much. Take care.